your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Book of Acts, chapter number 5. Boy, it was exciting. Had a barbecue chicken, crock pot chicken today, where just kind of you put the chicken in the crock pot and you let it simmer. And then basically when you pick the bone up, the meat just falls off. Boy, that stuff was so tender, so soft. That was a blessing. I am thankful for chicken. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 5. I'd like to have some homemade fried chicken. Boy, I haven't had that in a long, long time. Fried chicken. Boy, that's a blessing. I was telling my wife the other day, we got Krispy Kreme donuts, and I said, sweetheart, don't worry about praying for this stuff because it's already blessed. Amen. Let's stand as we read Acts chapter number 5. And of course, you should always pray for your food. The Bible says, nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 29, the Bible says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Boy, you know what? We slew Jesus and hung him on a tree with our sin. Verse 31, the Bible says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And hey, you know what, just as a side note, if you're doing right at your job, you're doing right in your home, and boy, it upsets people, your walk with God does, you know what? Be thankful. You know, be glad, because you are a living testimony for Christ. You're doing right. Verse 34, the Bible says, then stood there up in the council a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For therefore these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom came a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this a man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to even fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. I want to preach on the subject tonight of, is Christianity relevant today? Is Christianity relevant today? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for this evening, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to meet together once more, Lord, before we start off our week, Lord, in the workplace. And Lord, just we start the hustle and bustle of life. Father, we thank you for this this last pick-me-up, Lord, before we start our week. And Father, I pray tonight that you would please bless and, Father, meet needs in the lives of your dear children. Lord, you would help us today, Lord, to understand the message, Lord, the message, Lord, that you have for us, Lord. Help us to comprehend it and make it a part of our life. Father, we ask now for your blessing, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Christianity, is it relevant today? Is it relevant to you? Is Christianity a part of our culture similar to how Islam is in the Middle East? You know, it's really easy for a guy from the South like myself to be saved, because we have a church on every corner. It's really easy for a guy who is from the Bible Belt to be well-versed in the Scripture just because it's such a part of the culture. And it's very tough to go soul winning in the South because you knock on a door and everybody is saved. I mean, just trying to find somebody who's lost or whose grandmother isn't a preacher or whose, you know, great aunt is a deacon or something like that. Boy, it is tough to find somebody who would say, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I'm saved or not. Everybody is saved in the South. Christianity, though, is it a part of our culture? Is it a fairy tale? Is it something that we just kind of do? Is it a philosophy with no eternal consequences? Has Christianity run its course? And you know, if you view God as a spiritual Santa Claus, boy, your paradigm of God is wrong. If you view God as somebody who you just need every so often, He gives you emotional support, you know what? Your view of God is wrong. What should our proper view of God be? Well, you know what? He should be our Heavenly Father. He should be God who loves us, who cares for us, who died for us. That's who God should be. Is it relevant today? I think in the lives of many people, it's not, because they have the wrong view of God. But we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to preach a little bit on why is Christianity relevant today. Point number one, if you're taking notes, what is relevant? What is relevant? The word, what does it actually mean? Just to kind of lay a foundation for this message tonight. Well, letter A is things that apply to us. Things that apply to us. That something is relevant if it applies to your life. There's a, I had no idea about this this type of music that is in style among some teenagers, but it's Korean pop. And man, how about that? I love Korean pop. Not really. I was watching a video the other day, and it looked like a bunch of women up there singing. And I'm like, man, what are these ladies doing? And they're like, oh, those are actually men. I'm like, oh, man, love, that's tough. You know what? That does not apply to my life. It's not relevant. So if you have like a tour group coming in, and it's the latest Korean pop rock, you know, from Seoul, or maybe, you know, Kim Jong-il has his own little band there, you know, it comes through, you know, it's just not relevant to my life. So, you know, I'm not even going to mess with it. The latest scrapbooking technology, you know what, it just does, it is not relevant to my life. My wife has got a tackle box full of stuff, and man, I mean, she has more scrapbooking stuff than I do tools. And some ladies, they bring out like the Snap-on, you know, a 6-foot-tall toolbox, and they wheel everything out and just slap full of scrapbooking stuff. It's just not relevant to me. Another thing that's not relevant is this machine right here. It's the Abacus. It's an old calculator, and it's run by a series of decimal places. You got the ones, tens, hundreds, and stuff like that. And basically, you just count the beads, and you can do all sorts of complex mathematical calculations. I would actually race the kids on during a math class, and every time I would lose because I'm not very good at it. I got to the point to where, you know, I was kind of decent, but they would always beat me. So I'd basically go down to the elementary school where I knew I could beat them, and I would win. It's just it doesn't apply. It's not relevant to our lives anymore. Why? Because of the advent of the microprocessor, the advent of the personal calculator in the late 70s. At least that's what the History Channel told me. And you know what? It's all that stuff has made the Abacus irrelevant. Things that are relevant are things that apply to our lives. What else is relevant? Well, things that impact us, things that directly impact us. You know, there's a shortage of vintage Atari games out there. They are not very prevalent anymore. Y'all remember that magnificent piece of electronic equipment? It had the wood grain paneling on there, praise God, and then it had the one joystick with the one button, and man, you would just spend hours upon hours playing Missile Command, amen, playing Pac-Man. Yeah, that's where it came from. It came from the Atari, and Pole Position and stuff like that. Wow, I loved those games. But you know what? The shortage of those video games, it doesn't impact anybody in here. Why? Because it's not relevant to our lives. Boy, one thing that is relevant to our lives is terrorism. That is a huge, it has potential for a huge impact. That is relevant to us. You know, each time we go through the airport, you've got to take off your shoes. And, you know, you've got to, we can't bring drinks on the airline or on the airplane anymore and stuff like that. And it's relevant to us. It has changed our economy. It's changed the way the policymakers run the government. It's incredibly relevant. What is relevant today? Things that apply to us and things that impact us. And you know what? Just as a side note, I think it's funny how many Christians like really get bent out of shape, for the latest thing that's, you know, really bad. They just get so upset and they just start doing backflips and just, you know, terribly mad about certain things that happen. And in doing that, they actually make that bad thing even more popular. And it's like, man, what are you doing? It's like the Da Vinci Code a couple of years ago when that thing came out. A certain church that's worldwide, boy, they were just up in arms about it. Man, just super ticked off about it. And like the sales of the book just went through the roof. It's like, man, you know what? If you just worry about things that are relevant, like loving your neighbor and treating people right, you know what? Those things will just kind of go away. It'll come to naught. What is relevant? What are the things that are relevant in your life, and should they be? The things that you have made a priority in your life, should they be a priority? The things that you put stock in, the things that you think about, the things that you pay for, the things that you spend time with, are they truly relevant to the Christian? Let's look at point number two. Point number two, why is Christianity relevant? Why is it something that applies to us? Why is it something that impacts us? Why is it something that should be preached? Why is it something that money should be spent on to make sure that it's spread throughout the world? Why is it something that time should be invested into? Why is it we should devote our lives to the cause of Christ? Why is it relevant today? Well, letter A, through the truth of God's Word. That's why Christianity is relevant. You see, we have a book here that's not just a collection of poems and ancient literature, but hey, these are the living, breathing words of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth." And you know what? It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's still truth. Your personal belief on a subject does not negate the validity of that subject. Gravity is true because when you let go of something, it falls. Everything has gravity, so when you hold an object in your hand and you drop it, kind of like how my sons do the dishes every time that they do dishes, you know what? It falls. It gets brought down to the earth, and you know what? If it's a dish, it cracks. You know what? Gravity is true, regardless if you believe it or not. Handouts don't work because it's not appreciated. The Bible says if a man's not going to work, neither let him eat. Hey, that's true. If a man's not going to work, then you know what? Don't give him things because you just, you know, you've read the book, Give a Mouse a Cookie. And boy, you know what? It wants, I don't know what the actual story is. I read Give a Pig a Pancake. And he's going to want syrup, and he's going to want bacon and eggs, and then he's going to want a bath and stuff like that. We didn't, in the South, we don't read very well, so we couldn't quite get up to the mouse, you know, story. So we just stuck with the pig. Luke 7:35 says, "Wisdom is justified of all her children." Why is the Bible true? Because of the end result of what the Bible says, the consequences of not obeying the Bible, the consequences are true that the Bible says are true. Why is the Bible true? Because of the end result. Wisdom is justified of all her children. We can look across the room tonight, we can look across society, and we can see where people are in their life, and we can see the corresponding blessing and curses, and we can say, hey, you know what? Wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom is justified of her children in every aspect of life. It's justified of her children in construction. When we have an earthquake, and you know what, buildings still stand here in America for the most part, as opposed to buildings in Mexico and other parts of the world, we say, oh, you know what, those earthquake codes are wise. Wisdom is justified of her children. When we see that people are, when they are kind to each other and eventually they do overcome that difficulty in that relationship, we can say, oh, you know what? It is good to treat your enemies with love and to treat them as your brothers. Hey, wisdom is justified of her children. Why is Christianity relevant? Because of the truth of God's word. And we can go through the prophecies and say, yes, the Bible is true because it fulfills this prophecy and it fulfills that prophecy and this, that, and the other. And we can also say, hey, because of the practical applications of the things found in the Bible, you can say, hey, you know what? It's truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Why is Christianity relevant? Because of the truth of God's word. And letter B, because of the universal stability of morality. Of morality. When I use the word morality, I'm basically speaking of the word truth. Morality just kind of rings a little bit closer to home. Psalm 11:3 says this, if the foundations be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of this building were not secure, if they were not steadfast, the building would eventually fall. I spent many summers in Appalachia. My grandparents were coal miners, and then their parents were coal miners, and before them they were farmers and stuff like that. And as you drive through that area, you'll see that a lot of people, when they built their homes, they built them without engineering degrees. They built them without really thinking about, you know, how is this going to work out maybe 10 years down the road. And what you'll notice is when you walk across a floor in some of those old houses, you kind of need a staircase rail so that you don't slip down, you know, because it's supposed to be level, but because, you know, the foundation has settled, because the foundation wasn't compacted well, the house is actually kind of tilted a little bit. It's like when you go to the circus or whatever and you got those, you know, those rooms to go through and they're slanted and it just, you know, it throws you off. It's the same thing. What can the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? Hey, if the foundations of living a life that pleases God, you know what? If those be destroyed, well, you know what? We have nothing to base our life on. If the Bible is not true, you know, we have nothing to base our life on. If the Bible is irrelevant in your life, you have no foundation for a purpose-filled, for a joy-filled, for a life that actually means something. Morality is the foundation of every stable society. Our president said this in 2009. He said, we uphold our most cherished values not only because doing so is right, but because it strengthens our country and keeps us safe. Time and time again, our values have been our best national security asset. Boy, that kind of sounds like the Bible. Sin is a reproach to any nation. It's our best national security asset. In war, in peace, in times of ease, and in eras of upheaval. Fidelity to our values is the reason why the United States of America grew from a small string of colonies under the writ of an empire to the strongest nation in the world. It is the reason why enemy soldiers have surrendered to us in battle, knowing they'd receive better treatment from America's armed forces than from their own government. Boy, why is America great? Because America is good. That's what Alexis de Tocqueville said in the 1700s. He said, you know, when America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Why is America such a strong nation? Because our morality is strong. Because we have a love for life. Because we have a love for our neighbor. And unfortunately, as you look past, as you look at our recent history, we can see where those morals have begun to erode. Morality is so important. It is the foundation, or it is the, letter B, the universal stability of morality. Why is morality so important? I was in a Hardee's the other day. No, I was in a Carl's Jr. Hardee's is on the other side of the Rocky Mountains, and it's the same restaurant. But I was in there, I think I was eating like a $6 burger, which I only got for $3.50, which is a really good deal because it's a $6 burger, you know. And good marketing there, Carl's Jr. So I'm sitting there, I'm eating my burger, you know, my wife's got the jalapeno poppers and, you know, the kids got french fries and chicken nuggets and stuff like that. And by the way, be leery of restaurants that specialize in everything. That just means everything is equally mediocre. But a guy walked in and he had a button-down shirt. I think it was purple. He's wearing black pants and black dress shoes. He was pretty well dressed, I might say. But as his shirt kind of flung open a little bit, I noticed that he had a gun. And he had a corresponding badge and stuff like that. And I looked around, and I don't think anybody else had a firearm as well in the store. Maybe the guy the cook in the back with all the tattoos and stuff, he may have. But nobody else in there did. And I looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? That guy who just walked into the store, he's in control. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, because, you know what? He's got that gun, so if he wants to pull out the gun and make us do whatever, give him our wallet, give him, you know, your ring, whatever, you know what? If he just wants to shoot people, that's what he's going to do. What keeps him from doing that? Character. That's the only thing. Hey, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Morality is what allows you to drop your kid off at a babysitter. That's the only thing. Morality is what enables you to deposit your money at the bank and have the trust that they're not going to steal it. Morality allows others to cook your food. Morality allows you to sleep soundly at night. Morality promotes confidence. Morality enables freedom. Morality directs success. Morality is what is causing what people in the manufacturing industry call reshoring. It's where companies are actually coming back to America. One of the biggest reasons why companies do relocate back to America is many times due to the corruption of the countries. You have to pay the province, you know, director money in order to get that permit underneath the table. Or perhaps are also because of theft of intellectual property and poor work ethic. Why is Christianity relevant? Christianity is relevant because it is the truth, and also because it provides stability for society. And if it provides stability for society, you know what? It provides stability. It provides a foundation for success for your life. Oh boy, is Christianity relevant? It is very much so today. Titus 3:8 says this, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." Paul, why should we maintain good works? Why should we strive to do right? Why should we strive to be moral? Why should we strive to obey God, to love Him, and to do those things that He wants us to do? The Holy Spirit said this in the latter part of the verse, "These things are good and profitable unto men." Christianity is relevant because of the truth of God's word, and it's relevant because of the universal stability of morality. Without morality, we have nothing. And just as a side note, you know what really separates the Christian from every other religion? The Christian from every other person? Morality. A close walk with God, a walk that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to do right no matter what, because it's the right thing to do. If you ask an atheist, you say, why do you have to be good? The best thing that they have for you is a subjective morality. Well, why do I have to be good? Oh, well, because, you know, it's wrong to hurt people. Why? Why is it wrong to hurt people? Oh, well, you know, because you cause pain and suffering. Huh. Is pain and suffering wrong? It's tough to answer that if you don't have a steadfast foundation. Hey, because you know what? When you grow, you know, when you're a child and you grow, don't you go through growing pains? You know, your legs might hurt when they start to stretch and when they start to grow. Boy, when you're working out, man, you got that barbell and you're trying to pick it up. Boy, isn't it an unpleasant feeling in your shoulders and in your arms? But aren't your muscles growing? Is pain and suffering really bad? Well, they can't answer it. They can't answer because they have no authority. Why else is Christianity relevant today in our lives and the lives of everybody? Let us see, because it is timeless. It is timeless. I quoted this verse today, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, God, when He wrote the Bible, He set it up into such a way as to where He didn't give a list of do's and don'ts. He didn't just give a list here, but He said, you know what? We're going to live by principles. And because God set up His word by principles, you know, by nature, they are timeless, so they can be applied to every person in every time group. It's relevant today as much as it was in the time of Christ. It's as relevant today as much as it was at Mount Sinai. Christianity is relevant. Christ is relevant today. You know what it takes, though, to really find out if God is truly relevant in our life? Boy, it takes work. Hey, we've got to read His Word. We've got to pray. We've got to spend time with God. And I guarantee you, if you're not spending time with God, God will never be relevant in your life. There will never be a difference. There will never be a change in your life. Are you spending time with God today? Why is Christianity relevant? Why is it relevant in such a changing world? It's very simple. Because God's truth, or the Bible, is the only source of truth in the world. Number two, why else is Christianity relevant? Because society, people, you know what? They thrive on morality. And then letter C, you know what? Why else is Christianity relevant? Because it is timeless. We've seen what relevance is. We've seen why Christianity is relevant. But how is Christianity relevant? You see, this is where the rubber meets the road. How is Christianity relevant? Letter A, you are the salt and light of the world. Oh, it's very relevant. God says, look, it is incredibly relevant, and in order for it to really take root, you need to be the salt and light of the world. Do you know why? You know what? Basically, we live in a pretty moral society. You know, we can basically walk down the street and we don't have to worry about people, you know, attacking us, you know, like a wild animal and stuff like that. It's why, you know, for the most part, you know, a lot of people are honest. You know, especially in the Western culture. Why is that? Because of the Holy Spirit. Boy, you want to see a time of carnage. You want to see a time where things just really go to pot. Wait for the tribulation. Wait for the time when the Holy Spirit and the influence that the Holy Spirit brings is completely drawn out of the earth. Oh, you know what? You're going to see some really interesting times. Why? Because there's nothing to hold back the devil. What holds back Satan today? The guy at work who says, you know what? Hey, I'm going to live for God. Hey, on my break, you know what? I'm not going to go to the bathroom stall and, you know, kind of read my Bible. You know what? I'm going to read it, not being obnoxious, not being unkind or rude. You know, I'm going to read it at my desk on my break. Boy, it's the guy who will, you know, in school, he'll pray over his food. It's the person who will treat others kindly, who will treat them with respect. Hey, you are the salt and light of the world. God says if you're not the salt and light in the world, you're good for nothing, really. You're just good for nothing. The only thing you're good for is to be trodden down under the foot of men, just like road salt is. You know, when salt, the Bible says, when it says it loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden underneath the foot of men. What does that mean? It means when salt loses its ability to preserve the item that it is next to, when it's lost that saving ability, you know what? The only thing it's good for is to melt snow. The only thing it's good for is to be trampled upon. Unfortunately, you know what? There are some Christians who, they're just, man, God love them. You know what? They're just really not good for anything because they won't have the backbone. So, you know what? I'm going to live for God. So they never feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. They never get used by God. They always kind of feel lost in the preaching. It's like, man alive, when is Brother Shepherd going to be done? I've got to go home and watch my program. You know what? You're never going to feel God stirring in your heart because you're not that salt. Christianity is irrelevant to you. How is Christianity relevant? Well, because you are the salt and light of the world. And then letter B, your walk with God influences the world. You know, the things you buy, the things you talk about, the things you wear, the places you go, that influences the world. Boy, I was just tickled when I heard about the record-breaking sales day at Chick-fil-A. It's like the whole controversy got started, you know, and I love Chick-fil-A. I think Chick-fil-A's got the best chicken sandwiches and everything. I get $20 for every time I say that, by the way, so I'm going to say it a lot more by the end of the message. You know, they're starting this big old mess, and I'm just like, man, this is crazy. And then they got together and they said, hey, you know what? let's just make Chick-fil-A, let's make Wednesday what, National Go to Chick-fil-A Day or whatever they said. That's pretty catchy. I should be in marketing, right? And they actually broke their sales records. And I thought, wow, what a black eye to everybody else who said, hey, Chick-fil-A is wrong. What a black eye. And you know what? The places we go and the things we do and society as a whole, you know what, would probably get a lot better if we actually supported things that were good. And that's just the way it goes. You know, it's like in the 1930s, in the movie industry, they used to have really, really strict standards. I mean, they'd make some preachers, you know, look super liberal. I mean, it was just crazy. You know, for example, in a movie, you couldn't ever have the bad guy live or be successful. You couldn't do that. You couldn't cuss. You couldn't, you know, show different things that, you know, like drinking and stuff like that, that we would think, you know, are just, you know, just kind of part of life. And eventually, I think it was in the mid-50s, they finally broke away from that. And they said, okay, we're going to do things a little bit different. And then from that point on, you know, the movie industry has just kind of, you know, done whatever. Why is that? Because it's what the people wanted. So they said, you know what? We're just going to give them what they want. So, I mean, I'm not just talking about buying stuff, man. I'm talking about your conversation, the way you talk and the way you live. People take notice, and many times they change as a result of that salt and light that's in their life. I try to go to the police station on Mondays, and I go in and I sit in what's that thing where they all get together? The briefing. There we go. And it's funny because, you know, they'll kind of forget that I'm there, and then they'll just start cussing, and then they'll look at me and they'll be like, oh boy. And I never said anything, you know. I never said, hey, you know what, hold your tongue or anything like that. I never said, you know, you better not cuss around me. They know. They know that, you know, hey, you know, God is here, and it's definitely not me. It's just the Holy Spirit. And I actually said during the briefing, I said, hey, look, you know what, if y'all feel the need to cuss, that's fine. You know what? Don't feel, you know, awkward around me. You know, like I'm going to judge her or something like that. And even now, they still hold their tongue. Why is it? Because I'm a salt and light to the world. Are you? Do people change their conversation when you step into the room? Do people change the way that they act when you come into the room? You know, this begs the question, if Christianity is relevant to the world, you know what? They need Christianity. They need God. They need Jesus Christ. So let's ask ourselves the question, why does the world seem to be getting worse and worse? Why do the new shows on TV, why do they shock us a little bit more than last season's television shows? Why are the numbers of Christians in some areas, you know, really not growing very quickly? Why is the Mormon church growing at an exponential rate? Why are denominations trailing off in their attendance? Why is Islam basically taking over Western Europe? Why is that? So I want to tell you this real quick. Christianity is not just relevant to the saved, but it's also to the lost. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish." How about that? We are a sweet savior. We are unto God a sweet savior of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. Hey, you know what? Don't be discouraged if you don't see fruit in your life. Hey, those people around you who are not saved, they need your witness. Those people who don't know God, you know what? They need your walk. They need to know that somebody is real. Not perfect, but just somebody who truly does love God. They need to see somebody perhaps who does stumble in their walk, but they get up and they live for God another day. They need to see who you are. But more importantly, they need to see Christ through you. Man, I hate taking medicine. Well, I hate going to the doctor and stuff like that, because basically you go to the doctor, you're feeling bad, and they check you all over and they say, oh, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with you. Just take Tylenol and call me in the morning or whatever, and I'll get back to you in 3 weeks. Is your insurance good? Hey, man. I hate doing that. I hate having to take medicine. Boy, you go through the cough syrup aisle and it says, tastes like grape. Like a grape that's been expired for 3 years, sitting underneath a New York City taxi cab driver. I mean, it's just, what? This thing is just nasty. I hate doing that. But you know what? I force myself to, so that I will get better. Hey, in order for the world to get better, even though they may not like us, even though they may not like God, they need us. They need the Holy Spirit to be present in their life. And if Christianity is true, if the Bible is true, if morality does provide the foundations for life, if God's Word truly is timeless, if we are the salt and light of the world, and if our walk with God does influence the world, why the little change? Why isn't greater change like in the first century? Why isn't it like in the 1730s when we had the Great Revival, the Great Awakening? Why isn't it like in the early 1800s when we had the Second Great Awakening, when we had the Fulton Street Revival? Why don't we see those things anymore? You know, Christianity is a very potent and relevant force in the world. I think the question is not if Christianity is relevant. I think the question is, and listen very carefully, is Christianity relevant to you? Is it relevant when you leave the church? Is it a part of your life when you go home? Is it relevant when dealing with your kids? Is it relevant when dealing with your spouse? Is it relevant when you get into that argument with the neighbor? Is it relevant when you get pulled over? Is it relevant when this or that happens? Because if Christianity is only relevant at church, man, your Christianity is flatlined. It is worth absolutely nothing. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, you know, if Christianity isn't real, then you know what? You shouldn't waste your time with reading the Bible. You shouldn't waste your time with prayer. You certainly shouldn't waste your time with tithing or going to church or going soul winning. You shouldn't worry about it at all. Shouldn't get any ounce of your effort. But if it is real, if Christianity truly is, if the way, the truth, and the life, then it is the most important thing in your life, and everything in your life should revolve around it. If it's not relevant to you, then it has no power. Who was it irrelevant to in the Bible? Demas. Paul says, you know what? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How relevant is your Christianity? Is it relevant enough to treat your spouse better? Is it relevant enough to come out on Monday evening, tomorrow evening? Is it relevant enough for you to have a better work ethic? Is it relevant enough for you to love your neighbor? Is it relevant enough for you to spend time with God each and every night? Is Christianity, is Christ, is God, is He relevant? You tell me. Is He? Is He relevant tonight? Only you can answer that. Father, we thank you so much for tonight.